This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on the dilution of class privilege on Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras season is rough for year-round residents. It's not the going to parades, but navigating the parade routes so that regular work and life maintains its semi-normal routine. It's also stomaching the stumbles. Mardi Gras marks the beginning of Lent on the Christian calendar, with Easter 40 days away. Historically, Mardi Gras in New Orleans is a guilty pleasure, rife with class and racial entitlement. And like so many rock-ribbed Southern traditions, the traditions of the upper class continue unabated. The daily newspapers continue to parade front-page pictures on the Sunday before Mardi Gras of an elderly white man anointed as the king of the Rex Parade, the premier old-line outfit, and a young white woman debutante as the queen of Rex. This year's queen looked 12 in her picture. She's no doubt an accomplished young woman who's now attending Yale and speaks Mandarin, but has never gone to school and hardly ever lived in New Orleans, as distant from her disloyal subjects as the planet Mars. The uptown island of wealth and privilege in New Orleans continues to float aimlessly in a sea that is 60% African American, one of the most crime-ridden and poorest cities in the United States. There's something distinctly unappealing about watching self-proclaimed royalty throwing trinkets to the outstretched arms of the masses, but maybe that's just me, because it's certainly deeply rooted in the New Orleans culture. There's pushback, though. The Endymion Parade celebrated its 50th Mardi Gras, and along with other so-called super crews, have left Rex in the dirt as the most popular parades. Endymion was a middle and working class parade interloper, now claiming thousands of members, open to pretty much anyone willing to come up with a couple of grand. Not for everyone, certainly, but compared to the high society swells, a democratic revolution. Such parades choose their royalty from the ranks of local and other celebrities, focusing on the crowds and popularity, maybe even the fun of it all, rather than the pomp and prestige. The post-Katrina surge of the young and hip, detached from any tradition but looking for a good time, has also leavened some of the more troubling pieces of the Mardi Gras tradition and added a somewhat more democratic tinge to the experience. The African-American Indian tribes and costumes were neighborhood-based and outside of the main culture, and now newcomers have brought some of the same topsy-turvy to tradition. There are walking parades, makeshift floats or none at all, and costumes of all descriptions, often to musical accompaniment. There are parades for dogs and neighborhood parades of floats the size of a shoebox. Some are bawdy and racy, while others are political and satirical. Many are unannounced, without routes or routines, and therefore all of the more exciting. When you hear the music, you can run to your front stoop and with some joy and surprise catch a glimpse of the passing parade. Gradually, the people are stealing up on the big whoops and making Mardi Gras their own, as the natives and the newcomers make it more fun and celebratory rather than a painful parody of the city's racial and class divide. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.